G.K. Chesterton said that the test of all happiness is gratitude. Cicero said that there is no quality I would rather have and be thought to have than gratitude, for it is not only the greatest virtue, but it is the mother of all the rest. Meister Eckhart famously said, if the only prayer you said in your whole life was thank you, that would suffice. Our focus this week, you might guess, is Thanksgiving. Though not in the overconsumption of enormous amounts of food kind of way that I'm so especially good at, but in the kind of way I'm a little less good at. Giving thanks is a recurring theme throughout the scriptures. It's a virtue for believers. It's a practice of prayer that's prominent in the book of Psalms and throughout the Bible. It's a vital part of the Christian life. And our scripture for this week highlights this and the importance of giving thanks. So we're reading this week from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. As we read in this story for today, there are 10 lepers, 10 of them, crying out for healing, for mercy from Jesus. And they had a whole host of reasons to desperately call out for help. They found themselves rejected, outsiders, because of this leprosy. This terrible sickness would not only start to eat away at their skin, but it would take away the life that they knew, the people they loved. And they would be cast out onto the edges of society. In the book of Leviticus, there's a whole 2 chapters that's dedicated to the appropriate treatment of the unclean lepers. They had to leave their families, their friends. No contact was permitted. No entrance into the boundaries of the city. They were unclean, and that was that. When we read this story, it is much like many of the other healing stories that we can find throughout the Gospels, all throughout the Scriptures, at the beginning, at least. It's like that. Someone comes to Jesus begging to be healed, and he does, and he sends them away. But then what we find when we keep reading in our story, is that it's really about something else. It's about something else. I was talking once with one of my seminary professors who was going to visit China on some kind of scholarly theological educator's trip. And I talked to her about her trip, what she was going to do, and I asked her if she knew much of the language so she could communicate. And she was a great teacher, extremely articulate, and I'm sure had lots she could teach them. But she said in response to me, she said, well, I've been practicing the Chinese word for thank you. She said, I figure that's a pretty good place to start. If I can't say anything else, at least I can say thank you. There is some evidence now, psychologically, scientifically speaking, about the importance of gratitude. There's evidence that gratitude alone can reduce our stress. There's even been proven links between gratitude and the immune system. Studies are showing that grateful people who cultivate gratitude in their lives are leading happier, healthier lives. Gratitude is good for you, the research is showing. I've heard it said that gratitude may be the purest measure of one's character and one's spiritual condition. It's our barometer for our spiritual health. To practice gratitude, it changes us. John Ortberg suggests that we could all try a little experiment. He says that it'll take a couple days, and then it'll teach us a little lesson, a little soul lesson. He says the first day, whenever you greet people, just begin the conversation with a little complaint. Just a little complaint. Something about your life, your health, your job, money problems, the fact that you don't have a spouse, the fact that you do have a spouse. Or just say something like, man, did I have a horrible night's sleep? And then the next day, try to greet people with a word of gratitude. Something you're grateful for, your family, a friend, your health, your job, the weather, your church. Maybe something like, wow, on a day like this, it just feels good to be alive, doesn't it? And then after the experiment, ask yourself, which day produced more positive feelings in you? You can probably guess. Which day left you feeling more vibrant, more alive, more close to God? 10 lepers were crying out to Jesus to be healed. 10 lepers are healed and they're sent on their way. But just one returns to say thank you. One turns to go humbly back to Jesus, the source of their healing. Nine of us continue on down the road. This, in truth, might be somewhat revealing for us about what is more typical for the human nature, for human nature and human behavior when it comes to gratitude. 9 out of 10, it seems, forget to give thanks. Where are the other 9, Jesus says? Were not 10 made clean? I remember when I graduated from high school, I was given all kinds of graduation gifts by my family, by my church family and friends in the community. And it was a huge blessing, though what was less of a blessing was that then my mother forced me to write thank you notes for every one of them. It's polite or something. And somehow this was the worst thing in the world for my 18-year-old self. And months were starting to go by, and I whittled away at this giant stack, one or two a day. I remember one afternoon I was at a friend's house, and I made the mistake of complaining about having to write these thank you notes, and to which they responded, you know, if it's such a problem, I don't really want your thank you. Don't really want your thank you. And so I went home, and I wrote theirs first, and then I wrote the rest of them in that one sitting. There's one grateful man who comes back and falls at the feet of Jesus to say thank you. The other 9 are under no obligation. Their mom is not making them say thank you. This is not about another thing that we're supposed to do. Really, they're the ones. These 9 are the ones doing what they're supposed to do. They're headed to Jerusalem, as Jesus said to do. Yet one recognizes the gift that he's been given. And he comes back and he falls at the feet of his Savior. And this is our model of faith for us. When the grateful man comes back, Jesus says something that I think is interesting to this man bowing at his feet. This is a man who has already been healed. He's already been given the gift of his health back along with the others. And yet, even after his healing, now Jesus says to this man, get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Faith has made you well. Other translations of Bibles say your faith has made you whole or your faith has saved you. What might it mean here for us to be well? 10 lepers were healed, and one of them, a Samaritan. Samaritan, a foreigner, hated and rejected, this outcast in more ways than one, recognizes the gift that he's been given, and he receives then, he receives something more than the others, even more than he dreamed of. Jesus here is offering a wellness that is beyond the physical. Your faith has made you well, Jesus says. There was a man who lay in a hospital bed with a few members of his family gathered around him. And now his strength was about to give out, and he knew it. And members of the family came and prayed, and each spoke a word to him about what was on their heart. And the last one was a granddaughter who was overcome with tears. And he reached out and grasped her hand to comfort her and told her, "It's all right. It's all right. I have been healed." And with that, in just a moment, he closed his eyes and he breathed his last breaths. There is a healing, a wellness we know that Jesus offers that goes deeper, more than skin deep. Each of us, not unlike the leper, this outcast, are desperately in need of the Savior's mercy, and we're offered saving grace. We can become so accustomed to this word, grace. This concept and reality of God's grace in our lives, it can become so over-familiar that we can forget that God's grace for us is not something we've earned or something we deserve. I read one pastor talk about this concept of grace, saying that though we know God to be a forgiving God, a God of love and grace, really there should be no presumption on our part that of course God heals or forgives or saves. That's God's business. And ultimately, he said, God's grace for us is always amazing grace. God's grace is always amazing grace. It's amazing that God loves, that God forgives, that God has mercy upon us, sinners, unclean. It's amazing grace, always amazing. Barbara Brown Taylor said that 10 were healed of their skin disease. Only one was saved. 10 were declared clean and restored to society, but only one was said to have faith. 10 set out for Jerusalem to claim this free gift, as they were told, but only one turned back and gave himself to the giver instead. 10 behaved like good lepers, like good Jews. Only one behaved like a man who was in love. And so we find that giving thanks is not just something that we're supposed to do. It's not something on the list, but something that flows in response to the gifts of God. We fall down in love of our Savior in thanks and praise because of the amazing grace that our Lord has for sinners, because we were the outcast, the unclean. It's often said that the basic human response to God is gratitude. What else can we say to what God has, what God gives us, but to stammer out thanks and praise? Anne Lamott says that her favorite prayers are in the morning. She says, "Help me, help me, help me." And then at bedtime, she says, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." What else can we say at the end of the day, in the face of God's amazing grace? What else can we say God, but thank you. Amen.